She apologizes, her face twisting with empathy. Daya's always had a wonderful family, but she's been around long enough to understand what growing up with my mother is like. I wave a hand. She said worst.
What did she say about Frank?
I reiterate everything Mom told me. And when I'm done, she just stares at me with wide eyes. I got the same reaction after I told her what I found out from Mark about Ronaldo and John. All I know is Gigi started a lot of shit by falling in love with Ronaldo. I finish on a sigh. Daya rolls her lips.
Speaking of stalkers, are you not going to tell your mom about Zaid?
I shoot her a look. That's like asking if I'm going to tell her about how one time I let a guy finger bang me in the middle of a concert. She snorts.
Yeah, okay, you win that one.
Hesitation flashes across her green eyes, and I know the question that's coming. I straighten my spine, preparing for it.
He hasn't said anything else about what he does for a living? Or why he's involved with Mark?
That last question, right there, is exactly why I can't tell her who Zaid is. He had said no one else knows about Mark and what he's really involved in except the few people who assist him. I shake my head, refusing to give voice to my lie. Daya nods, accepting my answer without thought, and the guilt that resides within me is almost unbearable. I lied to her face and she didn't even question it. She pours a shot of rum and hands it to me. Here, this will cheer you up. Pre-gaming before a haunted carnival is like law. I accept the shot and gulp it down. When I lower the glass, the smile is back on my face. Alcohol won't cure the guilt, but at least I'm not mad about my mom calling me a prostitute anymore. She snorts when she sees my face.
What do you think the haunted houses will be like this year?
She asks, paying some shimmery brown eyeshadow on her eyelid. She's going to look dangerous when she's finished. The eyeshadow will bring out her sage green eyes to hazardous levels and attract all the monsters. I don't know, it's always hard to guess. It's like trying to guess the next theme for American Horror Story. The houses in Satan's Affair usually all follow the same theme. One year, most of the haunted houses were set up like prisons, and in each house, you had to figure out how to escape. That's still one of my favorite themes thus far. That was also the same year Daya peed herself. She brings an extra change of clothes now, and I tease her every time. You ready? She asks, swiping at her eyelashes one last me with her mascara wand. Girl, I was born ready. Let's go, Peabody.
Bitch.
She mutters, but I barely hear it over my evil cackling. Satan's Affair is one of my favorite places in the world. At night, the fair comes alive with laughter, peals of screams from terror and excitement, and moans of joy from the fried food. Walking into the field full of haunted houses, carnival rides, and food trucks is like walking into pure static energy. Daya and I immediately get sucked into the crowd. It's 5 o'clock, pitch black already, and some of the monsters are already starting to trickle into the crowd. My eye snags on a girl dressed up as a broken doll, sitting on the bench, and happily eating a Philly cheesesteak sandwich. I nearly groan, the scent of grilled meat making my mouth water. I nudge Daya and point her out.
She's dressed as a doll.
Daya hums, and both of our eyes track over the houses. They're not lit up yet, but some of them make it obvious what the theme is. Our childhood, I murmur, noting the dollhouse dubbed Annie's Playhouse alongside a house called the Tea Massacre. The entrance is a massive teddy bear with a missing eye, a torn ear, and blood splattered across its fur while a bloody knife is gripped in its hand. It gives life to a memory from my own childhood, alongside millions of other little girls, sing at a table full of stuffed animals and empty teacups. That house won't be a pleasant tea party, but one full of killer stuffed animals and creepy monsters. This is going to taint every single one of our childhood memories, isn't it? I conclude.
Oh yeah.
Daya says, her lips twisted with both excitement and dread. I grab Daya's hand and lead her towards the food trucks. We like to eat first before we get harassed by monsters. It makes it awkward when a corn dog is shoved halfway down my throat, while a creepy monster is standing over me and breathing down my neck. What sounds good? I ask, my eyes roving hungrily over the endless options.
How can you even choose?
Daya whines, sharing my dilemma. We have to at least get a mean hot dog and the truffle fries. Oh, and the fried veggies. Oh, and maybe
You're not narrowing it down like you think you are.
Daya interrupts, her tone dry. Okay, fine. That broken doll over there is eating a Philly steak. What? About that and some fries for now. I ask.
Lead the way.
She says, throwing her hand out in an impatient gesture. I don't even laugh. I take food just as seriously when I'm hungry. By the time the lady in the food truck is handing me my food, I'm ravenous and shaking with the need to sink my teeth into something of substance. Grease sizzles on our fries as we shove them into our impatient mouths, forcing us to suck in air as they singe our tongues. And by the time we find an empty bench, my fries have already been devoured, and I've taken several delicious bites of my sandwich. Dai is even further done than I am, probably because the wench has been relying on me to find the spot to sit. Finally, I sit down and shove the sandwich in my mouth, not caring about the juices dribbling down my chin. In the back of my mind, I wonder if Zaid is here, watching me like he usually does. Would he be disgusted by my lack of manners? I fucking hope so. Then again, the prick would say something about how he likes me dirty, and then I'd want to vomit in his face. Liar. Just as we finish our food, the haunted houses come to life, the lights switching on and signaling that it's time for guests to get in line. Daya and I rush over to Annie's playhouse first, nabbing a spot pretty close to the front. We're leaning against the rails when an icy feeling tingles at the base of my neck, traveling down my spine. It feels like holes are being drilled into my back.
Addie.
A voice calls from behind me along with a so tap on my shoulder, just as I'm getting ready to turn around. My eyes widen, and I whip around, coming face to face with Mark. Oh fuck me. Mark, I exclaim in surprise, forcing a smile onto my face. I've never been very good at acting, especially when I have to pretend to be glad to see a pedophile standing behind me. Make that four pedophiles. With him is Claire, and three other elderly men. I vaguely recognize them, and assume they're politicians of some caliber as well.
What are the odds? I didn't know you came here.
Mark says, his eyes consistently straying to Daya.
Who's your friend?
Daya smiles, though she doesn't even try to make her seem genuine. Daya, she answers for me. Sensing her indifference, Mark flashes a tight smile.
Well, it's very nice to meet you. Addie, these are my colleagues, Jack, Robert, and Miller.
We exchange pleasantries, all the while inching up in the line.
So where is Zach?
Mark asks, peering around me as if a man well over 6 feet would be hiding behind me. He went to find a bathroom. I lie. I don't know why I do, there's no reason to. But I have a gut feeling that if Mark thinks Daya and I are here alone, that maybe he'll pull something shady.
Speaking of Zach,
Miller cuts in.
I heard you two are quite the lovebirds. How did you meet?
My heart drops, and for a moment I think maybe Mark might have found out about the movie theater incident. But then I remember Zaid assured me the cameras have been wiped when he drove me home. Miller looks like he needs to be carrying an oxygen tank around with him. Mark is well into his 80s, and I'm sure the other men aren't far off, but Miller in particular seems as if he's defying gravity by standing upright. I spin the same made-up story that Zaid did in Bailey's, hoping that the knives usually in my eyes when dealing with my shadow are replaced with hearts. Claire asks a few questions of her own, her voice demure, like how long we've been together, and if we're planning on getting married soon. Sweat lines my hairline, the lies spilling from my mouth like the fantastical worlds from my fingers when I write. Luckily, it takes only a few more minutes to come up to the front of the line, and we're free of Mark and his creepy friends. Even though we're walking into a stuffy haunted house, it feels lighter in here. The house is adorned in pink, with white wooden floors, frills everywhere, and dead little girls giggling all around. Down the hall, I swear, I spot a 4-foot doll crossing the hall, her body distorted from the colorful smoke and her face bloody. She's gone before I can tell for sure. Daya and I huddle together, looking left and right, not quite sure which direction to go. A man with a peeling, bloodied face slips out from the shadows before us, and another girl dressed up as a demented doll comes out, a bloody knife in her grip. It's so sudden I jerk back. Daya's screams pierce my ears as they give chase, pushing us towards a living room with a blue couch and a mannequin giving birth to a child. I don't get the chance to look long enough before another monster is jumping out at us. I laugh through a scream, running away from a mechanical mannequin that resembles a grim reaper. Daya's nails dig into my arm. An assortment of monsters and dolls jump out at us, getting in our faces and scaring the living daylights out of us. One reason that Satan's Affair is so popular is that they carefully pick their actors. They're too good at their job. Not only do they have the best makeup, but they know exactly what to do to scare the absolute shit out of you. We swing around back to the foyer, but this time, we're chased up the stairs. Daya trips on one of the steps, and her curses are swallowed up by my cackling.
Fuck off.
She squeals through laughter, her eyes still wide with fright ass. She continues to fall up the stairs to get away from the monster. We finally make it to the top, nearly sprawling on the floor as we're overcome with a mixture of laughter and terror. The monster leaves us be as we right ourselves and make our way down the hallway, the flickering strobe lights creating a trippy effect. The smoke is heavier up here, making it harder to see. At the very end of the hallway is a massive mannequin, its skin burnt so severely that it's bubbled up in boils. An unnaturally wide bloody mouth and big yellow eyes top off his grotesque features. We veer into the closest room, avoiding that monstrosity. We enter into what looks like a doll's bedroom, more pink and white decor. A twin bed filled with deformed, creepy dolls and a mirror in the corner of the room that I'm almost sure is going to show something. Standing behind me, it looks innocent in here, but the strobe lights flash ominously while the blue, purple, and pink smoke swirls around us like wicked fingers, and the music in the backdrop creates a dangerous vibe. And then, out crawls a demented-looking doll from under the bed, her body twisted oddly as she comes skittering towards us. Daya's and my screams pierce the air as we trip over each other to get out of her way. We run towards the other exit door and are led out into another room. It takes all around 10 minutes to get through the rest of the house. My adrenaline sinks lower and lower, leaking down in between my legs as monsters chase after me. It's my favorite aphrodisiac, and something I can never assuage until I'm home alone afterwards. On the way down the stairs leading towards the exit, I hear a faint screech. It sounds like someone yelled out the name Jackal, but it's too loud in here to tell. When we're out of the house, we breathe in deep fresh air. The chill of the air is a soothing balm to our lungs. The only downside is it does get incredibly stuffy in the houses. The next several hours are spent running around to all the rides in between haunted houses. It breaks up the constant adrenaline rush with a different kind of thrill. I'll never get tired of the feeling of flying through the air at a breakneck speed. It's one of the few times where I feel like nothing can get me. Nothing can touch or hurt me. Nothing can catch me. It's one of the cheapest thrills I can get nowadays that doesn't cost me my morals and sanity.